Hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked. There's no way out.
All right, we're back here on Thursday Night Tailgate, and we've got our first guest, and that is former Pittsburgh Steelers left tackle Marvell Smith. Let me remind you about Marvell's background. He played his college ball at Arizona State, where in his senior season of 1999, he was selected as a first-team All-American, having allowed only one sack that year. He earned his bachelor's degree in interdisciplinary studies. He was a second-round draft pick, the 38th overall selection in 2000 by my Pittsburgh Steelers. Played tackle in the NFL from 2000 to 2009, all in Pittsburgh, except for some time he spent in San Francisco with the 49ers. He was selected to the Pro Bowl in 2004. He was a member of the Steelers' 2005 and 2008 Super Bowl championship teams, and we're very honored he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Marvell, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back. No problem. How's it going, guys?
Oh, fantastic, Marvell. How have you been? It's been a minute since we've had you on the show. You doing all right?
Hey, I'm doing good. It's funny listening to the introduction. It makes me sound like I actually accomplished something.
You accomplished a lot, my friend. Don't sell yourself short. Marvell, I want to start by going back to, you know, one of the greatest games I'm sure that you played in Super Bowl 40 and really one of the greatest running plays in Super Bowl history. Why don't I get your thoughts on Willie Parker's 75-yard touchdown run that led off the second half of that game. You sealed the backside. Alan Faneca pulled and opened the gap on the right-hand side. Willie pops it for a 75-yard touchdown. It was the second play of the second half. So I'm sort of curious, was that a play that just happened to go 75 yards for a touchdown, or did you guys recognize something in the first half, talk about it at halftime, that, boy, if we could do this and we can do that, this play could go for a touchdown?
Well, if I remember right, that play was something that we ran out of, like a sub package a lot of times, because it was a play that we ran out of our base, regardless of what defense was out there, we could run that play. The difference with Willie was he just needed, you know, a small gap to get through. And with his team, he'd be able to outrun anybody on the defense. It was just a matter of being able to get him to the second level. And that's why a lot of times we ran that defense out of, run that play against a sub defense because it's, it's a lot easier to get to the second level with those guys. And him to the second level, all he had to do is beat the, I believe it was a safety that came up trying to fill the hole, and once you got past him, he was gone.
And Marvell, you guys also pulled off a double reverse pass for a touchdown in that play. Antoine Randall-El throwing 43 yards to Hines Ward. You made your block, and you had a bird's eye view of the rest of that play. What do you remember about that play call in the huddle and then watching it all unfold?
The funny thing about that play is we ran it all year, like we practiced it all year. So it wasn't, I don't think when we called that play, anybody thought that it wasn't going to work. The very same play we ran against Cincinnati earlier in the playoffs. But we had practiced that play all week, all year long, and it was like when are we going to use it? You know, and so it wasn't like you said, like I had a pretty simple block for the most part. All I had to do was just secure the handoff for and no pressure coming off my side. So I saw the whole play develop and the way it wasn't really surprising. It was like, all right, they don't have a clue what's coming. So it wasn't anything that Seattle could even done against that play at that time.
Bob, questions for Marvell?
Great to speak with you again, Marvell. When Chris had mentioned in your introduction about you earning a college degree, I immediately thought of, obviously, it had to be very important to you, Marvell. We have a lot of people on here that come on and say, they're not able to get their degrees until possibly later on in life or whatever. But how important was that to you while you're playing football at a high level back then?
It was a big deal for me. I mean, I grew up in the Bay Area in Oakland, and I didn't come from a lot. Like, there were times where the only thing I had for dinner was a bowl of ketchup. You know, neither of my brothers and sister, I had two older brothers, older sister. They hadn't graduated high school. My mom and my dad, they hadn't had any college education at all either. So for me to be the first from my family to go off to college was huge. And I actually left school early as a junior because I went to school. I never took a break throughout school. I went year around. Christmas break, summer break, I was in school the whole time. So I actually graduated in 3.5 years, which is the only reason why I even left school early. I had it playing football wise. I had accomplished what I wanted playing football at the Division I level. And I made up my mind before the season even started that if I had the type of season I wanted, that I was going to leave. I was already done with school. There was no reason for me to stick around and come back and play another year. So getting a degree was huge. It was something that I focused on the whole time I was at school.
And Marvell, the 2000 NFL draft, you were a very highly touted lineman. I believe there's only 5 or 6 that were taken before you. But while you were waiting for your first professional season, what did you think that you had to improve on the most before you became an established pro?
For me, it was I was always really athletic. You know, my feet were my gift. I wasn't always the biggest or the strongest, but I could take a lot of risks on the field that a lot of guys couldn't because my feet always bailed me out. When I played, I was never really on the ground. I was never off balance or nothing like that. That was something that helped me all throughout college and at every level. The biggest thing for me coming into the NFL was I was switching from the left side to the right side. I had never played right tackle at all, along with the fact of, you know, just honing down my technique. It's one thing that separates a lot of people in the NFL at that level. Everybody's good. And being sound in your technique and consistent at it every single play. Because in college, there were times, I mean, I was a lot better than guys, so I could take plays off and still dominate guys to some extent. And my running back in college was J.R. Redmond, and it was always funny because he'd be behind me and see me blocking somebody with one arm. He used to always call it the long arm of the law. But it was like I could block guys with one arm in college. And like that wasn't going to fly at the NFL level. So it was really just getting more consistent with my technique to where it was just, you know, ingrained in your muscle memory that each play I had to bring my A game, essentially. And that was the biggest thing for me transitioning from college to the pros.
Marvell, speaking of your feet, you were in the trenches, you know, with a bunch of 300-pound guys all over the place going at it, falling left, right, all that sort of stuff for a decade. You know, so it would have been hard not to get injured. How did you stay as healthy as you did?
I was fortunate. I really didn't have any major injuries until my last 2 years playing, which is when my back started bothering me. But I tried to never worry about getting hurt. A lot of times playing, that's when you end up getting hurt because you're more cautious or whatnot. But I always, like you said, during the trenches, there's big guys falling on the ground all the time. So I was always, from a very young age when I first started playing football, I was always taught to keep your feet moving at all times. And that's something, me being light on my feet, it was something that I was always conscious of. Whenever I was blocking somebody, of course you gotta keep your feet moving anyway to be able to move somebody. But it was, like I was mentioning before, it was part of your muscle memory. I was always used to moving my feet. If my feet ever got stuck in one place, I felt like I was going to get beat. So I was always moving my feet or whatnot, even if I was in the same place. I was, in a sense, kind of dancing in place. My feet were always moving. So if I ever had to change the direction, I could change the direction quickly. I didn't have to get started because my feet were always moving all the time.
And Marvell, you had the opportunity to block for two very distinctive and very different styles of running backs in Willie Parker and Jerome Bettis. What was it like trying to block for those two guys? Because as I would imagine it, Marvell, you know, Willie Parker, right? You give him a gap, bang, he's through the gap and he's gone. But much different, right, with Jerome Bettis. He didn't have the nickname the Bus for no reason, right? I imagine for him, you're having to hold blocks maybe a little bit longer. It's probably a little more dangerous that he might, you know, roll up on you from behind. Talk about trying to block and what it was like trying to block for both of those two guys.
It was different blocking for both of them for sure. I mean, one thing, like Willie had the speed to outrun the defense, you know, and he would hit it downhill, and if he didn't hit the hole fast enough, then you kind of knew he was going to bounce it to the outside. Jerome, on the other hand, he, if there wasn't a hole there, if it wasn't going to bounce it outside, he was going to make a hole, whether you were there or not. And, I experienced that. I got in the front of the bus a couple of times and felt it. It's weird because when you're playing, we were playing San Diego on Monday Night Football, and I think it was like a short yardage play. All we needed was like 2 yards to get. And I'm in the hole, and I know Jerome's coming there, and it's like, it's all bottled up, but I know he's coming anyway. Felt with all this force behind me, and it's like it's funny because when we looked at it on film, I came flying out the other side and probably flew like 5 yards, but it didn't hurt at all. You know, but it stuck in my mind because I always knew if I'm in the way, Jerome's going to come anyway, he's going to make a hole. And that was, I think that's the only time that ever really happened. But he definitely made the hole because I was in it.
And Marvell, you got to play one season with Armani Dawson. Your rookie year was his last year in the league. What was it like getting the opportunity to play alongside him?
I actually learned a lot from Armani the whole time. It was a pleasure to be actually see him because my first year, his last year playing, he wasn't even 100%. And I believe he had a bad hamstring. And it was amazing to see some of the stuff he did on the field with essentially one leg. You can imagine watching him play completely healthy. But he helped me out a lot with my hands. Coming into the pros, I had lazy hands. And a lot of times, whoever gets their hands inside first wins. And in the NFL level, Tom, it's a hands battle. Whoever gets their hands inside first, a lot of times it's taken off or removed and replaced and all that. And so he helped me to realize, like, it's always going to be a hands battle. You always want to get your hands inside, but a lot of times one hand's going to miss. It's rare, very rare that you're going to get both hands inside on somebody every single time. And so doing all these drills and stuff like that with him and talking to him about it, you know, in practice or in between practice or whatnot, helping me to be able to focus on something that helps sustain me throughout the rest of my career, working with my hands.
Bob, one more from Marvell before we let him go.
Yeah, sure, Marvell. That 2004 season, of course, was very special. Going to the Pro Bowl like you did. Looking back, Marvell, do you think you had your best season in 2004?
I don't feel like I had my best season that year. One thing about, the NFL is, as an offensive lineman, you make it into the Pro Bowl, we don't have any stats. You know, so a lot of times it is based on how well the team is playing. And once you get in the Pro Bowl, then, you know, like people know and they'll vote for you or whatnot. So it kind of, my first, I don't know, 5 or 6 years in the league, the same guys made it to the Pro Bowl every year. Jonathan Ogden, Willie Anderson and Willie Rolfe, I think maybe. Those were the three tackles that made it every year, my first couple years. And I had seasons where I might have gave up one or two sacks the whole season. Like I wasn't, and that wasn't 2004. 2004, we happened to, I think that was the year we all went, I think we were 15-1 or something like that. The year before that. And then going to, the following year we won the Super Bowl. But I didn't feel like that was my best year at all. I mean, I remember we played the Ravens one year. Joey Porter got 3 sacks on Jonathan Ogden in the same game. He still got voted into the Pro Bowl because he was known. That year, I might have gave up 3 sacks the whole season. You know, so it was I didn't feel like that was my best season at all myself, you know.
Marvell, before we let you go, remind our listeners, A, what you're doing now and how they can follow you, whether it's online or over social media.
Me personally, I don't follow social media at all for the most part. I mean, it's the only form of social media I follow is LinkedIn. Other than that, I don't keep up with social media or whatnot. I'm fortunate that I saved a lot of my money while I was playing so I can dictate and, you know, choose what it is that I'm going to do. I have 3 kids, so most of my time is devoted towards it. And I thought when I retired, I'd be living, I would have less work to do, but three kids is like, far more work than I had when I was playing. But so for me, most of the time, I still, unfortunately, I have physical therapy on my back still. Each week I go do physical therapy, but for me, most of my joy comes from my faith. I was baptized a couple of years ago as a witness, so I focus each day living the best Christian life that I possibly can and volunteering my time out in the ministry or whatnot. And so if I leave the house, it's essentially with my family or I'm going to Bible study or whatnot. I don't do a whole lot or whatnot, so I try to keep it nice and simple.
Well, Marvell, it's always such a privilege for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. Thank you so much for coming back and being a part of the show again tonight. We hope you'll come back again and do it again sooner. My bad for not getting you on the show again sooner, but we hope you'll come back and share more of your stories and insights with us because you're fantastic, my friend.
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem at all. I always enjoy it because I've never really, even though I was playing, I never reflected on what I was doing until I was done. And so you guys always do a great job with the questions that's drawn, and I never know what's expected. So it's like reminiscing in the moment. So I always look forward to it. Whenever you guys will allow me to come back on the show, I look forward to it.
We appreciate that very much. Take care, Marvell. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up with you again real soon.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Have a good one.
Take care.
You too. That is former Pittsburgh Steelers left tackle Marvell Smith. Bob, the story, at some point in time in his life, he only had a bowl of ketchup to have for dinner. Unbelievable.
But I was just going to say, Chris, such humble beginnings. That's a success story right there. And to have done what he did, second round draft pick, we're honored to have him. It was
what a wonderful guy.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Look forward to getting him back on the show again real soon. So thanks to Marvell for being a part of the show again tonight. All right, we've got our next guest, Tony Collins, hanging on the line. We'll get to Tony on the other side of this quick station break.